Today, I am joined in the studio with Gail Woodson. She is the author of a new book titled After Kilimanjaro. She and her husband also spend a couple of months each year teaching in Tanzania. Thank you so much for stopping by today, and I am so excited to hear about all of your work.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be back in Springfield.
I know. A lot of people don't like Springfield, so to hear somebody say they're happy to be back, it makes me so excited.
It's a beautiful community.
It really is, especially during this time of year. The leaves are changing and everything, but we're not here to talk about that. So why don't you start off by telling us about your book?
Well, my book, it's called After Kilimanjaro, and it's about a young woman doctor who she's kind of burned out by the American medical system, and she just takes a break year and goes to Africa and really has no idea what she's getting herself into. You know, she picks Tanzania because her boyfriend wants to climb Kilimanjaro. So that's why how the title comes in. And she arrives there and finds out that, you know, she loves the country, she loves the people. There is just an awful lot of need in healthcare, in particular women's health. She learns about this horrific practice of FGM, and she kind of wants to do something about it. She wants to improve maternal mortality. So she winds up in a remote mountain village teaching tribal birth attendants.
Yes.
And she learns from them.
Yes. So when did you first start writing this book, and what inspired you to kind of write something like this?
Well, yeah, I've always wanted to write a novel. I've started several novels, and I retired from SIU in 2014. And right after my retirement, I went and spent, you know, 6 weeks straight in Africa. And this story just kind of came out. And Tom and I had visited this village up in the mountains, actually with a medical student. A medical student took us up there to show us a place where he was going to build a home, and we kind of fell in love with that little village. And I just started thinking, well, what if somebody came and started training the birth attendants to be community health workers? And so I kind of started in the middle and then built the story, you know, from the front and the back, because I had to figure out, well, how am I going to get somebody there? And how can I be someone who is seeing it with fresh eyes so that the reader learns about things through the eyes of somebody naive? In Tanzania, they would call her Mzunga. the story just developed from there. And somewhere in there, a character decided that there was a love story in it, too.
And I heard one of the things you brought up is the horrific experience with a female circumcision.
Yes.
And I know that's the big deal, especially out there. So what impact are you hoping to achieve with this book?
Well, you know, to raise awareness, and this idea of training birth attendants is something that had actually worked in Liberia, where my sister had spent a year or so. And there are in Nigeria, they have just now started a similar program. There's just not enough doctors and nurses in Tanzania. There are like 3 healthcare providers for every 10,000 people. And I'm not saying 3 doctors. I'm saying nurse, doctor, physician assistant. And they do a wonderful job. The doctors who are there and the nurses, they have increased the life expectancy by 15 years over the past 10 years. But there's this uphill thing of trying to train more doctors. And that's what Tom and I do when we're there, is to help train and educate doctors, and we're very happy with that. But the idea that if you could recruit community people to provide health care, just think how that could mushroom. And that's sort of... And also wanting to raise awareness about the FGM. There's some wonderful programs that are going on to try and educate against that. There's an organization called the Pastoralist Child Project, and they have done things like they're developing alternative coming-of-age program ceremonies that women can have instead of that. And they're doing a lot of education, because I think education is the main thing, because it's already against the law. But just because something is against the law doesn't mean that there's a lot of underground things going on, because there's just such a strong cultural tradition.
At UIS, we have a very strong international student presence. And I had a classmate, and she was from Africa, and she did her assignment. It was her senior seminar speech on the lack of education in healthcare. and where she's from, and she talked about these things called cyber cafes that kind of help raise awareness to things such as, you know, what you're talking about, because a lot of women don't have access to knowing about these sorts of things. So have you seen cyber cafes or things like this?
Yes, and the amazing thing is how the internet has, you know, pervaded the country, and, you know, wireless communication. You have areas where people, they've got no electricity or running water, but they got a smartphone, and somebody can do a pedal power generator. They can connect to the world through that. They can learn. Students in classrooms can learn through that. I know the medical students where we teach can get so much information from the internet. You know, we can assign them a project and they do the research. They don't have to have outdated books, outdated paper books. They can get to the information. People even pay their bills with their smartphones now. And so people don't have to carry money around. They don't get robbed because, you know, they have a secure phone. They can send money to someone back home. So it's just amazing how technology is improving the lives of people there.
Yeah, we've already talked about some of the work you all do in Tanzania, but I just really want to know, how does providing access to greater medical and professional care, how has it helped the lives of everyday people in Tanzania, where here we're very fortunate to be able to walk into urgent care, or we can go get an appointment with our doctors, but they may not necessarily have that out here. So how is that, well, out there, how has that really helped them in their everyday lives?
Well, you know, 90% of the people in sub-Saharan Africa will never see a doctor in their lives. But it's gradually getting better by educating more physicians. But one of the problems is that the physicians tend to stay in urban centers. That's the same problem in the United States. We have women dying in childbirth. You know, our childbirth mortality is going up in contrast to just every other country in the world. And part of the problem is access to care. Some women, they're two hours away from the nearest facility to give birth. That's part of it. There's a lot of, you know, racial disparity in access to care and the outcomes. So I'm amazed that some of the things that they're doing in Tanzania to improve is actually things that might apply back home.
And that was something I was just going to ask. Do you think we can apply some of these practices here? Because I know there's a lot of rural areas where, like you said, women can't even get to the doctors. And I know a lot of people are starting to turn to midwifery or having doulas present at their births.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues, and this is something I come up with in my book, is that, you know, midwives, they can do very well with, you know, an uncomplicated birth. But one of the major things is training the people to recognize, say, hey, there's going to be a problem with this one. You shouldn't be staying out here 2 hours away. You should be spending time near a place when the time comes. For example, if you have a woman who is already delivered a baby successfully without any complications and she's got her second one, it's going to be a very low-risk birth, and it's extremely unlikely that there's going to be problems. On the other hand, if it's someone's never had a baby before and their blood pressure is starting to go up, or if the baby's not in the right position, they need to be near a facility.
Okay, so how has experiencing this or just seeing it firsthand through your travels and work in Tanzania, how have these journeys affected you, or I guess impacted the way you looked at the world and at childcare or at healthcare?
Oh, you know, I think it's been a journey for our life. You know, Tom and I have done a lot of teaching in other countries. We've done outreach in Guatemala, El Salvador, the Middle East. We've, you know, been in Jordan. And so it's just a continuation of realizing that people all over the world, most people, they're the same inside. They want their family to be safe. They don't want strife. They want peace. And you just learn over and over again that people are the same.
And then what advice can you give to our audience that maybe they're wanting to help, maybe they're wanting to make a difference and bring some of the knowledge they have to other places? What advice can you give people that may want to do some of the things that you all have done?
Well, we're going to be giving a panel discussion on Monday together with the Agamas. And that's actually on Sunday, I'm sorry, Sunday afternoon at SIU. And we're going to talk about the challenges of healthcare in Africa and what people can do, how some of the things we've done is successful. One of the things that Dr. Ogama is going to really point out is that sometimes people who intend to do good wind up maybe not only not doing good, but perhaps some harm. So I think people, if they can either contribute to a program that they know is actually what they're doing on the ground and how they're improving things, or if they want to actually physically go, they should make sure that they join in with a group that has established programs and that you know that it's a sustained thing. It's not just going in and doing seeing a few patients in the clinic or those things are nice, but if you want to make a real difference, you need to be connected with a place and helping them to improve, because there are so many really bright, committed people in Kenya and Tanzania and Ghana that are capable, and it's a matter of helping them to develop their programs. The Tanzanian government really has a strong commitment. Their, you know, resources aren't as good. They're not wealthy, but they've recognized one of the biggest priorities now is getting anesthesia care. So 20% of the deaths in Tanzania are preventable with surgery, but if you don't have anesthesia so that the patient wakes up at the end of the procedure, it's a real problem.
Yeah.
So these countries are showing commitment and wanting to improve, and it's a matter of helping them to do what they need to do.
You've talked about helping the medical students improve and all the work you've done, but what's something you've learned from them about life, about healthcare?
Oh, you just get inspired. Them. That's the main thing, and then they keep persisting. They're like medical students here too. We have brought some medical students over to spend some time, and it's just amazing what they can pick up and then take back home. Because if they are, what we've learned is that you can't take someone out of one of these countries, bring them over here and train them, and then send them back and being able to function in that environment. Because for us to go into that hospital and take care of patients, we have to figure out different ways of doing things because we don't have the same equipment. We have different clinical problems. So we've learned a lot about how to work in that environment. And, you know, every patient that comes in, there's a lot of some of the social issues that they know about that they can help us to figure out how to adapt.
That's awesome. And then I know I want to stay in contact with you and your journey. So if anybody wants to purchase your book or keep up with your journey, where can they find you and how can they contact you?
Well, the book's called After Kilimanjaro. It's available through all the traditional outlets. I have a website, GailWoodson.com. That's pretty easy. It's my name.com. And it has some of my other stories that I've written, a blog, and you know, some news updates about what we're doing. I also have an author Facebook page. I know a lot of people feel drawn to want to do and help, and I just applaud that. Anybody that wants some help in finding out, you can contact me. I can talk to you because different people have different gifts and can contribute in different ways.